What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two of the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting today from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And the Chase and Joe Show, of course, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Now, where are Chase and Joe? They are both out this week. So Connor Newt, myself, Nick Frazier himself, filling in for you this week. And it's 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. Let's check in with our good friend Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. I hope your dead period break was nice. Hope the fourth was nice with the fam.
Yeah, was great. Good to get a little recharge and then back at it over here at Ensworth.
Yeah, I bet. So Titans training camp, couple weeks away. The story for me is Cam Ward, of course. It's going to be the story of the entire season. How much of a grace period does he get this season being a second-year quarterback if he makes mistakes early?
Well, I think because of the coaching change, new offense, that type of thing, I think there is a bit of a grace period. You just look at other quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence would be a good one in the division where, you know, rookie year was kind of a disaster. They make a coaching change. Year two kind of felt like, hey, it was rookie year all over again. So I think there can be a similar I think there can be a similar type of patience that's fair when you talk about, you know, Cam Ward in year two, but also understanding it might be a little bit like a year one because of so much change around him in terms of personnel and then as well as, you know, what they're doing offensively.
Could you apply that same level of patience toward the offense around him, like his receivers in Cardale Tate and Wandell Robinson?
Yeah, I think that's also fair, right? It's not, it's not, hey, you're bringing in Mike Evans, right? You're bringing in, you know, younger, inexperienced guys. And, I think that, Robinson slightly different than Tate. But, yeah, it's just, you know, new system, new city, new team, new quarterback. So to think that everything's going to kind of get off like, I'm sure everyone hopes it will. Like, it's just probably not a realistic, plan.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is online with us. Tim, when it comes to this defensive side of the football, and obviously Robert Saleh is going to be calling the plays, how much of a factor does Gus Bradley play into this as not only a mentor to Robert Saleh, but also as the DC for this team?
Yeah, I think it's big because Saleh's been a head coach before. He obviously has, strong feelings about the defense and how he wants it taught and called and all of those things. But, you know, I think I've said this before, there's just so many responsibilities as a head coach. I remember talking to Bill Polian one time, and he was saying that one year at the Colts, they tracked Tony Dungy's media availability and the president of the United States media availability. And Tony Dungy was actually made available more to the press than the president of the United States was. So you just think about in that year. So you just think about the demands of a head coach in terms of, you know, what he's asked to do. And, that's just one aspect of his job. So there are going to be times where, there's just going to be limits on what he's able to do in terms of time and availability. And so having somebody with knowledge and experience, to be able to continue to deliver the message and have suggestions and ideas and, you know, put a good plan in place. That's just, you can never have enough good qualified coaches that also are willing to do it in an unselfish way. And I think that's the true value there, you know, with Gus Bradley.
And then just continuing with on the defensive side of the football, looking at just the depth for something that the Titans have not had in quite some time with the interior defensive line, having Solomon Thomas, Jordan Elliott. I mean, now you add Keldrick Falk as one of the edge rushers, adding John Franklin Myers as well. Just how do you see all that playing out, especially now having a former second-round draft pick in Femi Oladejo? Well, where does the timeline for him kind of start kick-starting for him?
Yeah, I to me, like if you just look at, you know, sometimes it's like you can look at a team and be like, all right, okay, what was their plan? What were they doing? I mean, clearly, you know, Robert Saleh, you know, gets there and it's like, all right, here's what we need to do. Give me some guys that I've coached before, either edge rushers or interior defensive linemen that I know can play, you know, at a hopefully at a starter level. And so I think that's what that was a clear kind of mission, if you will, to say, all right, like as a guy that,
did we lose Tim?
From general. And, look, it's a good idea because I think that if – when you look at some of the stuff that Saleh has done, you know, it hasn't always been, hey, like we're going to confuse you and bring all types of pressure. Like sometimes it's just been like, look, we're going to play, you know, a front and a coverage that's pretty basic, but like we're going to rely on our front to have an impact. So without bringing extra people, and you need good defensive linemen to do that, and that was clearly, you know, a mission of this offseason.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, I'm sure you saw this while you were on vacation, but the NFL 100 is coming out, obviously voted exclusively by the NFL players, and a lot of outrage this weekend as Jeffrey Simmons was voted number 83 out of 100. Is that really something that Titans fans should take a lot of stock into?
I mean, I know with player voted things, I do think, you know, there's a decent meaning to it for players. I think that's fair, right? But I think it's based on the position. I mean, just if I'm being real, like it's just, if you have general managers, I don't think that it would necessarily be, you know, he would be ranked that low. Interior defensive line is not a it's not a glamorous position. It's like a guard that's really good. It's not necessarily a glamorous position. And so you will have a lot of even players not understand, you know, how important it is when you have an impact player that's an interior defensive lineman. Because, you know, whether it's a big guy like a Vince Wilfork that was hard to move and what that meant to other players around him, or a guy like Simmons, you know, or Aaron Donald was, who like, look, they also, you know, they could move around. They were good pass rushers. They're also good against the run. Like, it's just such an impact when you have somebody that's that caliber. So, it's surprising he's out in the 80s, but, you know, I think some of that is, you know, the people that are voting on it. And, you know, you're just not going to have a whole bunch of receivers or corners, you know, talking about defensive tackles, you know, in a locker room argument.
He's ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. We'll have more with him coming up next. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier here with you on the Chase and Big Joe Show on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe on this Tuesday. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier with you filling in for Chase and Joe. And as it is the 1 o'clock hour here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, we are joined by ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. So, Tim, I want to ask you a quarterback question, specifically coming out of the NFC. Obviously, Matt Stafford is going to be viewed as number one. He's the reigning MVP. He's been sort of the top of that line for a couple of seasons now. Where do you believe that Caleb Williams can rank in that conversation? I think his playoff performance kind of sets him up for a little bit more success this upcoming season, but I'm curious of the league-wide view of him.
Yeah, I think it's fair to just in terms of talent and ability, you know, in the NFC, like he's going to be near the very top in terms of what people think like he's just physically capable of. So if you say he's a top three, you know, physical ability player, and then I think the development that you saw, you know, playing on time, not always trying to create, you know, in I guess year one of a new offense for him, I thought was really, really good. So, it would not surprise me if he's viewed as, you know, by the end of the year, a guy that's top five, top seven-ish quarterback. I think he can be that good. And I think some of that just depends on, you know, his development as a guy that just plays on time, because his ability to create will be, I mean, it's going to be up there with being probably top three in the league.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, I think what you'll end up having, you know, with him is, you know, some of the critical moments. I think that's one of the reasons why people, you know, kind of look at him right now with kind of like eyes wide open of like, oh, wow. Because in critical moments, he was so good. So a little bit like, I guess it would have been his rookie year, Jaden Daniels. It was some of those critical moments in close games where it felt like, shoot, he's playing his best football. I think Caleb Williams was able to do that last year.
How much does the loss of DJ Moore on that offense contribute to his development?
Yeah, I think it's, look, they're losing a good player for sure. There's no doubt about that. But I think that Chicago was comfortable losing him because of, you know, how they feel like they've done with their tight ends, with their other, you know, younger receivers. That's a talented group. They've gotten it right. And so because they've gotten it right at receiver, I think they felt like DJ Moore was somebody that they could, you know, they could move on from, get good value for, and it not really end up hurting them too much.
Tim Aspect's along with this. Tim, when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers, obviously in this year's draft, their second-round pick, Deshaun Stribling from Ole Miss, it seems like he has a, I wouldn't say easy path to have a starting role, but I feel like he'd be able to fill the void of a guy like Juwan Jennings, who is no longer on the team.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, everyone's talking about Mike Evans, you know, right now for the 49ers, and probably rightfully so because his impact will probably be significant. But, yeah, there's other roles, and the ball doesn't, you know, necessarily in that Niners offense, get forced to people. You know, Purdy does an amazing job of getting through, you know, reads and progressions. And so because of that, you know, that's why, quite frankly, you know, a guy like Jennings was able to have, you know, the career that he was able to have in San Francisco was just because it was like, all right, we're not always forcing the ball to certain people. So, yeah, I do think the complementary receiver roles, tight end roles, obviously stuff with the back of the backfield, you know, guys are going to get opportunities. And so, yeah, I do think that look, they're a team that, you know, there are definitely opportunities for roles to have significant impact there and you know, kind of complementary receivers, one of them for sure.
Yeah, you know, I look at the San Francisco 49ers as, like, similar to the L.A. Rams, like, in the sense of, say, the front office of the Rams, say they win the Super Bowl this year, I could see McVay kind of calling it a career along with Stafford and so forth. For the 49ers' sake, obviously you get Brock Purdy late in the NFL draft. You have McCaffrey who you traded for. You have Mike Evans who you got. So there are some aging pieces, but yet the complement pieces underneath them, like behind Kittle, is Jake Tongas, who's a really good young tight end. You have Ricky Pearsall, who's an up-and-coming wide receiver. You have Demarcus Robinson, who's a consistent, you know, journeyman in the NFL. It just seems like they've had a healthy rotation of players come through that franchise.
Yeah, I think John Lynch has done a good job. You know, I think that's been a big part of it, because you're exactly right in terms of, I just think they've done a good job. I mean, just personnel-wise in general. I mean, you just think about the, you know, the injuries that they dealt with last year on defense. I mean, they were, decimated. But yet they had young guys and sometimes off-the-street guys that they had identified that kind of fit, you know, okay with their system, and like they were a really competitive team, you know, late in the season, you know, playing with so many guys, you know, on their defense that, look, at one point were either on their practice squad or were not, you know, on their roster. And so I think that says a lot about their scouting department, their ability to not just identify talent, but identify talent and how it fits in with what they are doing defensively.
Yeah, like looking at the running back room, obviously Christian McCaffrey getting up there in age, but behind him, Jordan James was always their constant number two in this case. And then now you have Kalon Black, who's from Indiana, a guy who rushed for 1,000 yards last season. Yes, there was a little bit of flack after the draft there when it came to picking him in the third round. But, I mean, when you have 1,000 yards under your belt and you're coming into a, I'd say, running back-centric team, like you mentioned, like there's not a person on that offense that doesn't get the ball enough. It's all dispersed out evenly. I just think it just fits his system well.
Yeah, and you just look at the history of running backs and their success, how they use them, you know. It just didn't matter if it was, you know, Raheem Mostert when he was there, or just some of those backs. Like, I think that's what, you know, kind of makes them a unique team in terms of, look, they just do a good job. I think they do a good job of identifying. Like, to me, if I see Kyle Shanahan draft a running back, I'd be like, huh, okay. Like, I bet you this guy's pretty good. It's just almost a little bit of, you know, just the track record, the kind of the benefit of the doubt that you give a team that's had success evaluating players like that in the past.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us. And Tim, one storyline I'm kind of looking at in the NFL this season is the development of Marvin Harrison for the Arizona Cardinals. It's been a guy that was kind of propped up on this pedestal coming out of Ohio State, touted as a generational wide receiver, and then it just hasn't happened so far. So what needs to happen for him this season to kind of take a step forward and solidify himself as a wide receiver one in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's going to be the quarterback play. I mean, plain and simple, it'll be that. You know, a quarterback's a dependent position, receiver certainly a dependent position. And so, you know, those are going to be critical elements of, you know, a wide receiver's development. So I think, look, he's a great route runner. He catches the ball well. He's got good run after the catch. He's strong. Like, he's got all the tools. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work with receivers that have the tools, but to me, I feel like, I don't want to say the light will go off, like, or on, but like, I think that there's an element where the play around him at quarterback and creating opportunities for him probably has been as much of the problem as anything.
What are your thoughts on the quarterback situation in Arizona with Brissett holding out? Is there a possibility we could see Minshew or even Carson Beck in action early in the season?
Yeah, I think it's a good shot. We see all three of them. Okay, to me, the Brissett situation reminds me a little bit of Ryan Fitzpatrick when he was at the Jets, where it was like, look, it's clear everyone knows that he's the best option as the starting quarterback for the organization. At the same time, you know, you don't want to negotiate against yourself because he's probably not a starter anywhere else. And so I think when you look at it that way, you say, well, like, we're not going to pay you like a starter because no one else would pay you as a starter. But at the same time, I understand Brissett's, you know, kind of gripe with it where he's like, look, man, like, I'm your starter, you know, and I'm clearly a starter and you know it, you know, you can't pay me like a backup. So I think that's, I can see both sides of it. And so I think because of that, look, and, you know, Minshew's experience or, you know, the upside of maybe somebody like Beck, who at one point people, I think, you know, viewed as a potential first round draft. So I think when you see all of that stuff, it's kind of feels to me, at least, you know, in July, that we could be headed towards seeing all three quarterbacks play at some point this year.
Yeah, Tim, back here in Nashville, sticking with the quarterbacks, obviously Will Levis seems to be the third quarterback in this case because of Mitchell Trubisky being QB number two. Do you see him sticking around through preseason when it comes to, you know, having a three-quarterback system? Because from what we've all seen in years past with Brian Daboll, he's always had three quarterbacks in his offense. So I'm just curious of your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's fine to keep three. I mean, especially with the way the roster stuff is set up now, like that to me doesn't seem crazy. To me, it more is about, does Levis play well enough, and is there a need somewhere else, you know, by injury or otherwise, that, you know, the Titans are able to trade Levis? Because clearly the Trubisky signing was, look, this is the type of veteran quarterback that we want around Cam Ward. And so I think when you do that, not that it, you know, makes Levis expendable, but I think that you can afford, you can definitely afford to move him if the compensation is right. If the compensation's not right, then, you know, I think it's fair to say, like, look, this is a talented player with amazing upside. You never know when injuries happen. If somebody has to get us out of the game, maybe that's Trubisky. But if somebody's going to start for 6 weeks, you know, maybe that's Levis. And, you know, you get a quarterback that goes on a good run over a six-week stretch, you know, he becomes a very valuable commodity around the league. I mean, you look at what happened to Willis, you know, is, you know, he got an opportunity to play in Green Bay, and because of that, became a very popular commodity around the league. So, look, I wouldn't be in a race, you know, to trade him or move him or anything like that, but I certainly would have all options on the table as I headed into the preseason.
He's ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, joins us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. to 1:30. Tim, thanks for the time. Good luck to you all this season. I assume pads are coming on here soon for you.
Yeah, end of the month, we'll start to get into pads. So and it's hot out, man. We got to get used to the heat.
Oh, I imagine so.
Nice little start to the season, too. Whitehaven, Nashville Christian, Briarcrest. I mean, that's a pretty good, and it's all at home.
Hey man, listen, we do not have an easy schedule. You just look at our
Yeah,
I'm just saying, it's nice to open up the season all three games at home. That's what I'm trying to say.
We do have, we paid for it last year with away games, but we're getting the benefit of it this year.
Tim, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas, see ya.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.